Yesterday we did the bump off Are You Afraid of the Dark, the tale of the sinister statues. And today we'll go through the rest of the Are You Afraid of the Dark series in brief, with brief descriptions and, you know, some takes on them. Are those takes hot or not? Go to hotornot.com in 2001 and find out. Okay, so we did the first book, The Tale of the Sinister Statues. Now we've got The Tale of Cutter's Treasure, which is an adaptation of the episode of the same name. I think this is the only one adapted from an episode. At least it's the only one that says so on the wiki. Why do we only have one episode that's done this way? And why is it the second episode that premiered? Or, you know, in book form. What do you call a premiere? Release? A book? My book's premiering? Did this book tank and people were like, whoa, we need to come up with original stories of Canadian children being haunted? I mean, one thing I'll say about this book series, it's a good opportunity to do some stories that might have been good, but too expensive or difficult to film. Sort of like how comics used to be before Skynet made all of our dreams possible, especially the financial dreams of Marvel. Next, we have The Tale of the Restless House. A planned prank goes wrong when the mastermind engineering it goes missing, and his intended target, Adam, and his group of friends find themselves trapped in the infamous Hawkins House. Ooh. Well, it took two books to get to a haunted house, which I would make fun of, except it took Goosebumps one book to go the haunted house well. Has Goosebumps ever gone to the haunted well? The haunted well house? Now we've got The Tale of the Nightly Neighbors. Some new neighbors move into a neighborhood. They are originally from Eastern Europe, wear black, collect blood, and are only active at night. Eastern Europe, you say? And they collect blood? I feel like you buried the lead there. Also, you don't have to tell this story the way a lot of people of my parents' generation do, first outlining the race of everyone involved, even if it really has nothing to do with the story. The Tale of the Secret Mirror. An attempt to scare her pesky little brother goes wrong when Kim is transported into the world behind the mirror in their attic. It would be great if someone got transported to a mirror world or whatever, and it was awesome. Like the mirror world is exactly ours, but with a 2-day work week. How is the other universe always worse? With infinite possibilities, I mean, I guess the most likely thing is something just totally random we couldn't survive, like where all the oxygen is replaced by bread. But in a reasonable-ish mirror world, why is the mirror always shittier? The Tale of the Phantom School Bus. Joey finds himself being stalked by a haunted school bus. Haunted vehicles always seem kind of like a difficult thing to manage if you didn't know you were being stalked by one, but once you know, I feel like a haunted vehicle is kind of escapable. This is my toxic trait, thinking that I could manage Christine. The Tale of the Ghost Riders. Josh and his new friend Carlos find themselves in trouble when they follow a skinwalker to his cave. Yeah, I would think that would probably be a troubling situation. It seems that the belief is that skinwalkers are shapeshifters who can become animals and are generally not good, Like, witches in Navajo culture are not like Massachusetts victims of the patriarchy or whatever. But hey, I need to stick to my culture, like the Getsko or Polish wild man, who is Polish Bigfoot with the ability to run sideways? It seems to be his big claim to fame. I don't know why that's listed as a special ability. Maybe some of these Polish jokes are kind of true. The Tale of the Deadly Diary. Hoping to finally keep her little sister from reading her new diary, Elizabeth writes down that if Karen reads it, goblins will come for her. Karen ignores the warning, and it soon comes true. Something I've noticed about these books in the Are You Afraid of the Dark TV show is that oftentimes in these books, the kids are little jerks who kind of deserve some level of punishment. I mean, should goblins strip the flesh from your bones for reading your sister's diary? Yeah, sure, why not? The Tale of the Virtual Nightmare. Katie learns a new horror of video game addiction when her friend Sam becomes addicted to a new computer game he refuses to show anyone and then vanishes. Sucked into the video game. This is such a staple of these kind of book series. I don't even really know what to say about it at this point. I mean, video games are awesome. Let's just face it, I wouldn't necessarily want to be in the world of Resident Evil, but it's like these books pose that as a lesson. See, it's not so fun when the danger is real, is it? But that's stupid, because of course it's not as fun. That's kind of the point of video games. They're fun in ways real life isn't. The Tale of the Curious Cat. Overly curious Natalie unintentionally sets off a chain of events that kills a black cat, and now she's going to help it come back from the dead. Now, what could this possibly mean? Like, how do you accidentally set off a chain of events that kills a black cat? Okay, I looked it up. Here's a description. Natalie Holland has always been a bit too curious for her own good. She knows when she should just mind her own business, but she can't resist the unknown. When Natalie and her little sister Carrie stop at a strange booth at the local crafts fair, Natalie is instantly drawn to both Shadow, a sinister-looking black cat, and the carved wooden cat behind a sign that says, "Beware, do not touch." Curious, Natalie can't resist, but the minute she picks up the carved cat, she sets off a chain of events that ends when Shadow races off his perch and straight into a speeding car. Okay, so I guess that kind of makes sense as far as a chain of events or something, but like, I think there's some cat owner blame to be placed here. Like, first of all, why do you have your cat at a craft fair booth if he's likely to just run off because someone approaches a certain item in the booth, which is going to happen like 100 times a day. But see, this is why cats are better than dogs. When a dog flips out, it bites someone. When a cat flips out, it throws itself in front of a speeding car. Cats and I have that in common. We inflict the pain on ourselves. The endless pain. The Tale of the Zero Hero. Simon's family moves back into their old house, which no one Simon tells believes is haunted by the ghost of his great-grandfather, a supposed coward from World War I. But then the ghost transports Simon back to those days to change history. I feel like if you were labeled a coward in World War I, you were probably just in possession of a small amount of sanity. Can you believe this coward doesn't want to sleep in a mud hole waiting for poison gas to kill him in such a painful way that it'll be internationally outlawed immediately following this war? Like, even in World War II, the Nazis will be like, well, maybe we won't use that. The Tale of the Shimmering Shell. In a fit of anger, Glynis wishes her father, stepmother, and stepbrother would leave her alone and summons an evil force that makes her wish a reality. Okay, now we've got our genie story. So we've got haunted house, video game, and genie. And also, I'm going to count it... craft fair cat as like store item that is on sale that shouldn't be on sale or even be at the store, because why would you bring a thing to a craft fair and put it on a perch and say don't touch? So what's left for these guys? The Tale of the Three Wishes. Duncan is given a wish granting comic book and learns that wishes often come with a price. Okay, so we also put on the checklist monkey's paw type story. You know, I had a wish-granting comic book when I was a lad as well. mostly because my wish was to see all the X-Men in swimwear, and in the 90s, that was a wild enough time that my wish was fulfilled. The Tale of the Campfire Vampire. I feel like this one came up because it rhymes. Two cousins on a canoe trip in Maine disturb an ancient calm cairn and release imprisoned Wendigos. I like how these Are You Afraid of the Dark kids are operating. What's that, an ancient monument thingy? Let's kick it over. It just feels real to me. Not that all kids are like that, but come on, if you think back to elementary school, you know you can come up with a kid who would do something like that. There was this kid named Thomas I went to school with, and that dude was crazy. Everyone was reading on the floor this one time, and Thomas was walking across the room, and he stepped right on some kid's stomach for no reason. That dude would have absolutely kicked something over, even at the risk of Wendigo retaliation. The Tale of the Bad-Tempered Ghost. Danny is being framed for messes by a ghost. This one sounds a bit low stakes. Messes? I mean, maybe messes means, you know, like murder scenes or something, but I don't know. Like not just leaving dishes in the sink? Come on. The Tale of the Souvenir Shop. Sisters Emily and Juliana learn a new meaning to buyer beware when they find a mysterious souvenir shop. So this is kind of a repeat of that other checkmark, right? Store with cursed items. It's kind of funny that it's a souvenir shop, though. Like, I bought a snow globe with my name on it, and now I'm cursed. Are all the Bort license plates cursed? What's going on? The Tale of the Ghost Cruise. While on a cruise on his great uncle's yacht, Norris meets a girl named Merle who claims there's a ghost on board. A girl named Merle. And wait, he's on his great uncle's yacht and just meets some strange girl? What is a young girl doing on some old man's yacht? I do not like where this is starting out. Then we've got the Tale of the Pulsating Gate. Scott Fong discovers the dangers of alternate dimensions. I mean, this title makes for a pretty good adult film as well. The whole thing writes itself. The Tale of the Stalking Shadow. Hadley Hearing has found a haunted house and wanted to come face to face with a supernatural presence that begins haunting her. Okay. I mean, is there anything more going on here? Like, how is that a pitch? How can you pitch, you know, this is like book 20 in the series, and you're like, all right, there's a haunted house and a ghost in it. Huh? You know, like, what a pitch. The Tale of the Egyptian Mummies. Annie and Laura find themselves up against two reanimated mummies. It's not the most creative idea, but there are two mummies, which is, you know, I can get into that. See, I was just complaining about the pitch, but, you know, if someone came into me, I might be vulnerable to the pitch of, okay, think about like a mummy book, but the mummies, there's two of them. I might be like, you know what? I'm sold. The Tale of the Terrible Toys. Carter learns that the toys in his attic are alive, and later that they might be as friendly as they appear. I'm going to reread that again. And later that they might be as friendly as they appear. So I have a feeling there's a typo in there, and the toys might not be as friendly as they appear. Or perhaps the toys are very unfriendly looking and they live up to that unfriendly appearance. I'm probably overthinking the omission of the word not here in a children's horror novel. The Tale of the Mogul Monster. Snowboarding Air D gets separated from his group and he's not alone. Snowboarding Air as in H-E-I-R to the fortune, like I'm the heir to the fortune of snowboarding? What does that even mean? How can you be an heir to an activity that's not like, I don't know, you know, copyrighted like Zumba or something? How could you, like, could you be in a walking heir, a casual conversation heir? The Tale of the Horrifying Hockey Team. John and his hockey team go up against a team of the undead. Another staple. Throw some undead into some sports, you've got to spook them up for preteens. I wonder. They chose hockey, and this was a super Canadian TV show. Maybe the books were equally Canadian. The only one I read was about a museum, and I don't know if there's any difference between an American and a Canadian museum, really. probably less syrup stations in American museums.
Beware, you're in for a scare.